Welcome everybody to episode 141 of the You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. We're your host Adam, Amy, and Russell Gibson. Russell, how are you doing this afternoon?
I was about to say good morning, but it is afternoon, isn't it? Although it depends on where in the world and what time you're listening to us, really. So good morning, good afternoon to everyone.
Yes. Welcome everybody on Central Coast Radio.
Yep.
And to our long-time podcast listeners. The cold weather's kicked in here. It sounds like you're a bit coldy or flu-y. This is the Jordan flu game for Russell.
A bit husky, yeah.
Husky, there's a word.
I had dinner with some friends last night, so it's definitely not the cold or a flu. So
it wasn't? You weren't binge-watching NBA and celebrating wins and things?
So we probably should quickly touch on Central Coast Radio, 10 a.m. to noon on Thursdays.
Yes.
And then we do have two replay slots, which are currently rotating around. So if you're working night duty, if you're working, you know, a late shift, something like that, yeah, check out Central Coast Radio. They definitely have some good content on there, and we're on actually 3 days a week at the moment. So
yeah, definitely worth a listen.
All right, let's jump straight into it. Ad, playoffs are here.
They are, and there's not many surprises, I'll tell you that.
Well, what about, okay, if you say not many surprises, let's talk about the Bucks-Pacers series, because Indiana's up 2-1 at the moment. Are you not surprised by that?
I'm not, no. I thought the Bucks were lucky to land the third seed. I think they sort of limped in. I don't think they're well constructed. I don't think...
They definitely limped in, yeah.
Yeah, and Giannis is, I mean... Giannis isn't Giannis at the moment, and Lillard's. I just don't think a lot of thought's gone into the retooling this year. The Bucks aren't the same as what they were last year.
Yeah,
and I think this is a real opportunity for the Pacers. I also don't think Doc Rivers was the greatest coaching hire, but I mean they're trying to appease Giannis. I guess that's why they went for Lillard. They lost a lot of defense, and I think it's sort of, I don't know. The Pacers stealing a game on the Bucks' home floor doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And the most recent, because this is midday Saturday, I suppose, for those that are unsure about what results we do and don't know.
Yeah.
The Pacers have just won game 3 in overtime on their home floor. So they're up 2-1. And I don't know. I think they're up and about. They're a young team. They've got Halliburton, who's sort of steering the ship, so to speak. But I don't know. There's a lot of exciting talent in Indiana.
Yeah, they've definitely got a young, exciting team.
Yeah.
Just to recap some of the stuff you said about the Bucks. So I think Giannis definitely put that team on the clock in terms of give me more talent or I'm leaving. I think that's essentially how the conversation went. So I think for the Bucks front office to take a swing on Drew Holiday for Lillard, I don't have a massive problem with that, to be perfectly honest with you. I think, particularly as teams get older, I think, you know, you do need to do something. It's like the Golden State Warriors scenario, isn't
it?
You know, you have to do something, whether it's Chris Paul, whether it's trying to bring in, you know, Jonathan Kuminga to sort of bridge that gap a little bit. But how it's panned out, I don't think they probably were expecting. But I think if you're being realistic about the criticism leveled towards the Bucks, maybe the coaching change is where they went wrong. And this is probably where I want to level the most amount of criticism to Giannis. It's like, really, he's going to get the reputation for being a coach killer, because when they fired Adrian Griffin, they were the number one efficient offense, and then they were 13th in D.
Yeah.
And essentially, when you combine those two numbers together, like, that's championship level, you know, basketball. So that, to me, is the most head-scratching piece in that. Let's talk some cards, because there's definitely, we have to talk about Halliburton. I think that's a non-starter for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Halliburton.
Who else do you want to talk about in this series?
In the series, I don't know. I mean, is Lillard the one that's worth talking about?
We can talk about Lillard too. I think that's totally fine. Yeah.
My concern is, and I agree with a lot that you said, I just think their defense is what's come unraveled with the changes they've made. And you're right, Doc Rivers is a terrible choice. Even that he's a terrible choice. They had a perfectly good coach there.
Did you see the shot that Halliburton made? And did you look at how many rim protectors they had in? Like, they had a whole team of guards in. Yeah. Like, even stuff like that. That's the stuff that really makes me confused with Doc.
Yeah, Doc's, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just a bit past it. But I don't know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They did break it, and now they've got it. Then they've got to fix it. Without Giannis, they're really trying to put on a show at the moment. But I just don't think they're a third seed without Giannis in the lineup.
Halliburton Silver PSA 10.
Mm-hmm.
Last sold for $242. In the last 3 months, he's actually down 43%. So that to me is frankly fascinating. I mean, he did have a large spike before that. So it could literally just be that he went up and he's come down. So his peak in the last 6 months was $510. So yeah, from that time, like it's basically halved, hasn't it? So look, I have to say, market cap on this is $81,000. Population on this is 334.
Yeah.
Card ladder puts it at $242, which is, I still haven't quite worked out if that's a good piece of data or a bad piece of data, but definitely worth noting on. Look, I actually like this as a buy at the moment. I actually suspect that we've just seen him go up and we've seen him go down. I think with this playoff run, this is going to go up again, particularly if they get past the Bucks, and then if they have a good showing in round two. Like, to me, the logic is there on that. But
yeah,
you know, I think maybe where we need to start moving these conversations, and I feel like we've been doing this organically anyway, so
we're
almost at the point now where our Silver's really a good buy, and do we need to start talking about different cards? I know it's easy for us to, you know, get the data on this, but, you know, I think where you're looking at stuff with Halliburton is, you know, on-card autographs, his RPAs.
Yeah.
Start looking at his numbered stuff, because even if you tell me, okay, a Silver is a bad buy, I actually think Halliburton at the moment is a very good buy, is where I'm going with that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to look through the, for value-wise, is there any other value in the Milwaukee roster as far as cards? Like,
so the for the Bucks?
Yeah. Because Indiana, I think that the focus is solely on Halliburton. They're used to, like, Turner was a decent player, but he's never had any hobby love. There's no real, I mean, Obi Toppin comes in off the bench.
For the Bucks or Pacers? You mean Pacers, yeah?
But the through the whole matchup.
Like, oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've looked through the Pacers, and the only person that really, and it's a small market thing, I guess, but for the Pacers is Halliburton. But even going across, like, this is two not really marquee teams going at it, is what I'm looking at as far as hobby-wise. Is Middleton worth looking at?
I think Middleton is totally fine if you want to have a bit of a look at him, but I think sort of, for me, if I'm just talking about the Bucks just in general, for me, Giannis is such a huge part of the hobby. And, you know, I think we've spoken about him before in terms of him being just underappreciated just generally in the hobby. Mm. In saying that, the last 12 months, he's actually, a lot of his stuff has gone up a lot.
Yeah.
So this is the whole Matthew Yuga conversation from 2 years ago. You could pick up Giannis rookie autographs for $1,000 Aussie.
Yeah.
Like, almost now to get a veteran autograph of his, you're looking at 1,000 plus. So I'd probably say for me, the two to look at would be, Halliburton and Giannis.
Yep.
If you're looking at Middleton, I've got no troubles with that at all. So the one that we put up on socials this week too is Ben Shepherd. So his game two line was, you know, really, for me, reassuring. I've been watching this guy from, you know, a very long distance away. There's not a lot to really talk about this guy, but he did play 23 minutes in, you know, a very important game, which I think is important.
Yeah.
8 points, 2 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. So look, you're not going to go out and put your house mortgage on this guy, but I'll definitely add him to the watch list.
Yeah.
The other thing about this too is the card that I put up, this is the Red Choice from Prism.
Yeah.
And I think I've been incredibly critical of the Prism autographs the last couple of years, but I really like these this year. I think they've done a really good job of making them aesthetically pleasing. And I would actually go one step further. I find these cards quite collectible, honestly.
The silver autos,
they look nice, but the coloured ones, so even out of like Prism Fast Break, there's some like really nice red and white sort of panelled cards coming.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad. I mean, red for the Pacers is an interesting colour, but yeah, like it's a.
I don't think it's a colour match.
Yeah, but no, it's definitely not. But it's a nice colour though.
Like, yeah, I like it.
The template's nice. The autograph's clean.
Yeah,
it's not stuck over a card like. I think that would be the criticism with Prism. Is it's like the base card with a sticker over it.
Yeah, that's right. They looked very bland before. I think they've done a really good job of just And not going too OTT either. You know, it's still got the prism sort of basic appearance. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something that less is more, I guess. Keep it simple. Like, you don't need to overcomplicate the card and fill it with nonsense. I think, they look good now.
The Bang Man, our proud sponsor to the podcast. Thank you so much to Team Bang Man for your ongoing support. April Bronze Edition is out. It is absolutely loaded. Value galore here. The highlight of this month's Bronze Edition is 5 different rookie classes. That's right. You have the opportunity to hit top rookies out of 5 different rookie classes. And this is absolutely packed. Prism, Select, Mosaic, Optic, Flux, Hoops Premium, Donruss. Bronze packs are predominantly retail products, so Blasters, Megas, T-Mall is what you're looking at here. But in terms of a fun rip, you cannot go past this. $129 delivered. There is no room for a promo code on this because it's so jam-packed full of value. Contact Team Bangman on Facebook or Instagram and they will hook you up. Thank you, Team Bangman. Damian Lillard, Silver PSA 10 rookie.
Yep.
Population 41, market cap 43,000. Last sold at $1,048. So looking at the last 6 months, he's down 37%. Again, I'm actually beginning to wonder now, is this more of a market shift than an actual...
Or are you ready for this information though?
Hit me.
All right. Total population 187, total gems 142.
Yep.
There's actually between the PSA 10s, so we're looking at gems.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Talk to me more about that.
41 PSA 10s, 89 BGS 9.5s.
Yeah, right.
And 12 black. Sorry, black 10s. Beckett 10s. So you're 140. It's not that really rare 41 pop, low pop that we were talking about.
Yeah, sure. That was a bit misleading. You're right. That's a better way to present the data, definitely.
It's definitely interesting looking at that way. But yeah, last sold for that was what? 1,050.
The only thing about that, though, is I'm not disagreeing with Ryan's principles here about calling a gem 9.5. I don't have a problem with that. But you can buy a 9.5 and send it to PSA. It doesn't mean it's going to get a 10.
That's true.
And also there's the cost associated with it. So sometimes...
I mean, this could segue to a different argument.
Definitely.
Reach out to BGS and say, scrap your 9.5 nonsense because it's doing everyone's head in.
No, definitely. It's probably not the right day to have this like sort of deep and meaningful, but at the same time, I think it's really important that we do look at the total data, but at the same time, PSA has such a market hold at the moment in terms of card values.
Yeah.
There is such a difference between a PSA 10 and a 9.5 in terms of value. And it's also not a home run that it converts over cross. So, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
Looking at the total pop report, like I go to the one that I drill down on the little book in Card Ladder.
Yeah, you love that little book. Yeah,
It's fantastic. So we've got all that gem rate stuff there, but then it breaks it down. And in that bracket, it actually shows the last sold price. So... Our friends at CardLadder have got some really cool features at the moment. So with the PSA stuff, it's got PSA 10s, last sold 1,056. PSA 9s, last sold price, however many of the rest. Then we go to Beckett. The 9.5s, last sold is $761.91. So it's actually going with what you said, is it's not the same. A 10 PSA 10 and a BGS 9.5 aren't the same.
Yeah.
Like that price point, although, I don't know, about $100 difference between a BGS 9 and a PSA 9 on the last sold.
Yep.
The BGS 10, however, last sold, just trying to see if this will bring it up for me, what the date was, but the last sold 15, where is that the Card Ladder price? 1536. PSA 10, BGS 10, last sold for 1,687 actually. That is the Card Ladder value in the box.
So do you have a date on that?
March 4th.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So it's recent.
That actually really surprises me because looking at the other stuff where it's trended down the last couple of months, you would think,
yeah,
that's actually quite high.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just interesting trying to deep dive into the brackets. The price under the thing is the Card Ladder value, not the actual last sold.
Anyway. Let's talk about the Wolves and Suns series.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed watching that series so far?
I have, but for very malicious reasons. I have a friend that's a long-suffering Phoenix fan, and it's nice to not be the only one suffering through the playoffs. I also have a friend who's a long-suffering Minnesota fan.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see him happy. So, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's an enjoyable series. But I think it's a changing of the guard. It feels like a changing 100%. Of the guard.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this Minnesota team is real.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out today, game three, if the Suns can win on their home floor and keep this series alive. But I don't know. That Minnesota defense is legit.
Yeah. So I think my takeaway so far from this series has been that it's definitely a contrast in styles of play. And I really enjoy that. And I think where I just keep coming back to is that I think I was dead against them having two big guys out at the same time.
Yep.
And they've just gone deep into this. I think they've made an organizational commitment to this. They're going to try it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a short-term, you know, blow it up if it doesn't work in 1 year. Like, I really think they've committed to this team in the long term. So for me, that's really interesting. So if you take that long-term commitment and you sort of just tease that out a little bit, Jokic's been talking about this in press conferences recently where he's saying it takes time to get chemistry and to learn how to play with each other and to learn each other's tendencies. And that's what I'm sort of seeing at the moment. I really think this Wolves team is starting to like know where each other are on the court. They know what they like to do when they're in these situations. You know, they like to run handoffs or isolations and all that type of stuff. And then I think, of course, the obvious one to mention right now is Edwards, because
Anthony Edwards is legit.
And I'm going to say the same thing about Tyrese Maxey in 2 seconds too. I really think we're watching these guys blossom in front of us and become, you know, what their maximum potential is. And it's, I really do enjoy that, you know, watching guys come out. So now this is maybe more interesting than what we've just discussed. So Edwards, population just on the PSA, 1,644.
Yep.
Last sold for 692, despite that insanely high pop count. Last 6 months, he's up 22%. It's a very steady increase there.
It is. It is.
I'm actually really surprised by this. I thought these would sort of get to that sort of $500 mark and sort of start to taper off, but he's the people's champion. I think that's the way you can say it.
It was very interesting. Was it game one? You said he's going to be the best player in the league in the next few years?
Sure. I mean, these guys have crazy amounts of confidence, so that's not outrageous for them to say that, right?
Yeah, well, that's, you have to be one of the elite in order to be even get into that arena. So you've got to think so highly of yourself in order to step on that court. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. So I think the question is, the obvious question now for you is this a buy, hold, or a sell? Because I think Anthony Edwards is a buy.
Yeah.
Same as what I just said for Haliburton.
Agreed.
But is this the right card? And I think that's probably where I'm going because...
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think looking at a variety of cards is very much where the thought needs to be because, we've seen this before, like the silver...
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I can't change my stance because it's a different player, but the pop count's insane and
That is very, very high. Even for me, that's like makes me quite unnerved. So yeah, look, I would probably say if you've got one of these, now's a good time to sell. Like does that mean it's not gonna go up in the future? No, I could imagine this going up higher, but I just really do think you're better off just putting your money into something different. And you know, I think the real question for me is, and I was tossing this up with a PC purchase this week, is do you buy lower graded, lower numbered cards? So, for example, something that's numbered to 25, let's say PSA 8.
Yeah.
Which is probably going for about the same price as what a silver is in this in this scenario that I'm not really fleshing out that well. But
But that makes it makes sense.
I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, all right. I've got because our friends at Card Ladder have been joining us through the playoffs, I've got an Anthony Edwards versus which card would you select?
Yeah, cool. Let's do that.
Should we do that?
That sounds fantastic.
We'll start off with since we're talking about the changing of the guard, I'll give you the Suns player first. It is a 2008 Topps Chrome Kevin Durant Red Refractor. And the Red Refractor is number to five, I believe, PSA 10, or an Anthony Edwards Select rookie autographed gold to 10.
I'm going to go KD.
I'm going to go Ant-Man.
Okay, cool. You flesh out.
So that last sold price was 6,710 for the Durant, and last sold for the Edwards was 6,650.
Yeah.
Card Ladder's got these guys very similar as their recommended price.
Yeah.
I don't think history is going to look back favorably on Durant. And I think Edwards has got a higher ceiling
than Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
That is a crazy call. All right, you better justify this, sir.
This is this kid is, of all the players I've seen so far that are gonna take the conch, so to speak, from Kobe's legacy, I see that in Anthony Edwards.
So you put, and you're a Kobe fan, just for people that don't know, Adam loves Kobe. So this is not, he's not throwing shade, but you are happy to use Anthony Edwards and Kobe Bryant in the same sentence.
I think that's his ceiling.
Yeah, wow.
If he keeps tracking in the trajectory he's going, that kid's got the drive and the ego and the work ethic.
Yeah.
So I think there is a big, big upside for this kid.
Okay.
I don't know if he sets that stage in Minnesota.
You've heard it here first, people. I think that's okay. No, I love it.
A high ceiling.
No, I love it. I don't feel the same way, but at the same time, I still love the take. Like, I think that's really cool. So I think for me, why I lent towards the KDs, because actually having the career that KD's had is really difficult to have. I'll flip this around a little bit. Like, if Edwards has the same career that KD has, you'll be like, you know, wow, this guy's had an amazing career. And I think for me, where I'm sort of looking at KD's maybe being a bit undervalued, whether he trolls other people or people troll him, you know, I do think that does sort of fit into his current narrative of why people like or don't like him. So I just wonder, as we remove ourselves through time from all that sort of social media nonsense, and then you look back at it and say, actually, this guy was insanely good for, you know, quite a long period of time. Like, he's had injury problems. You can't not say that. But at the same time, he's also stuck around. Like, he hasn't, you know, he's had a much longer career than Magic already. And he scored, what, the 10th most points now? So it's, I like it for those sort of reasons. But at the same time, I hate to say it, you've sort of convinced me. I like your take much better. That was really cool. I think the other one we should talk about now is Naz Reid. So if we're keeping with this Wolves theme, he won the Sixth Man of the Year award. It was the closest award voting ever. And the difference between first and second place, I think it was a total of 10 points. So Malik Monk came second. I think a lot of these awards are also determined by team success. And I actually don't have a problem with it at all, because I listened to Sacramento Kings podcast and they deep dive into this stuff. And they were saying Malik Monk really needed to be Sixth Man of the Year so he could get this next big contract. But I find it very difficult to sort of comprehend that 10 votes is going to stop him from getting like a $40 million contract. Do you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
People are going to look back at the last 2 years of his play in Sacramento and be like, you know, this guy is really valuable. We should have him on our team. We should pay this guy. I think that's how it's going to go. So I think for me, that's all a bit of like, it's a bit silly. And do I think that the voting process is flawed because they take in team success and also player success? Yeah, I do think that. But at the same time, you know, Naz Reid definitely deserves some kudos. And I think so do the Wolves, right? That's probably where I'm getting to this in a very long-winded way. We need to recognize these, you know, really good teams that have played. So,
yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Naz Reid does not have a Prism rookie card. So if you are looking to invest, or if you're looking to PC or collect Naz Reid at the moment, you need to look at different things. So a lot of Select has sold for this guy. So there's a bunch that's been sold at the moment. He's actually really quite hot at the moment. So Naz Reid, Concourse Light Blue, number to 299, PSA 10. Last sold for $125. I got to tell you, Ad, I think it's a bad time to be buying this guy, particularly when he's as hot as he is.
Just won an award. Yeah, right now. For sure.
So look, if you're buying Naz Reid because you like him, I'm definitely not telling you not to do it. Buy what you enjoy. But I'd also say, if you're buying this guy to invest at the moment, I think this is really dangerous times.
The horse
at the moment
is bolted, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. I think now's a good time to sell if you want to, you know, flip some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I think that in the next 6 months, the next 12 months, that NASREIT is going to be a good buy? Absolutely. You know, this guy is very skilled. He's totally fine. You know, I think the other sort of hang up I have, and it's a bit of a cop out for me to say this, but you also have to say, like, he's a big guy, and big guys generally aren't collected as much as, say, Malik Monk. But in saying that, Malik Monk is going for a lot cheaper than what NASREIT is at the moment. So
yeah, well deserving NASREIT, by the way, for sixth man of the year. I think surprised definitely a lot of people.
Steph Curry, clutch player of the year.
Yes, well, that's another string in Steph's bow.
Yeah, talk to us about that. You're telling me about this off air.
Yeah, I saw a post that says he's because they've named awards now after different players.
Yeah.
He's definitely got himself quite the collection of NBA greats in his trophy cabinet.
Yeah.
Has he won an All-Star? I'm not sure.
An All-Star MVP?
Yeah, Curry Awards. Because that's the Kobe Award. No, he's won. Okay, so he's won. Yeah, Finals MVP, MVP, Clutch Player. I don't know. There's so many different awards. List of achievements. And I don't know what they're all called these days, so. I don't know. They might be named. Has he won an All-Star? Western Conference Finals MVP? A scoring NBA All-Star? 10-time All-Star. Hasn't won a All-Star MVP.
So he's really? I was just about to say there's no way.
Oh, no, he has won. He did win an All-Star MVP.
Okay, yep. Great. I was going to say, yep. Surely he's won one.
So he's got Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. He's accumulating everybody.
What an award case that would be.
That's like he's. I mean, he hasn't won all defensive team, but that's probably because it's not what he's known for. But that's a lot of awards, and even in a year where, I mean, the Warriors didn't fare so good, it was nice to see Steph get recognition for what he did. Like he was a standout as far as a clutch performer,
yep.
And he always has. That man makes the impossible look easy.
Change the game. And I think we're going to talk about Steph Curry cards right now. And I think changing the game, let's just keep that in our minds as we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. So I think Steph Curry is a buy. And I think maybe the best way to say Steph Curry is a buy, I think Steph Curry is a buy pretty much of any of his rookie cards, anything that is game worn.
Yep.
Now, I've been looking into buying some Steph Curry rookies at the moment, and I've actually been really enjoying the process. The hang up for me, obviously, is the cash involved. You can't just it's not a quick purchase, right? I think it's something you need to plan out. You probably need to sell a few pieces, all that type of mm-hmm. stuff. So I'm trying to, you know, make the best decision I can. So I've been looking at PSA 8s because the price of them, you know, it's not like the lowest in the world. So again, I'm trying to give this as much respect as I can. It's an expensive purchase. But I do wonder just with his impact on the game moving forward, is this the type of thing that you buy a PSA 8 and just over the years that will just sort of just trickle up in value?
Probably.
Population on the 8 is 1,500. So, you know, there is a lot of them. It's not like there's none of them.
Yeah.
But if people are paying equal amounts for, you know, Edwards for a silver, yes, it's a different grade. Yes, it's a different card. I understand all that type of stuff too, but we're talking about Steph Curry here and Anthony Edwards, right? So I think that's kind of where I'm thinking about that and sort of that long-term sort of value. And I don't think there's that many home runs in hobby.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee this is going to be a home run, but like, let's be honest, you know, if you could say the four people is like Jordan, Kobe, LeBron and Steph.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty, you know, reasonable thing to say. So
for sure.
That's where I'm going with this is that I think sometimes I've been thinking about recommendations we have and haven't been making lately on the show. I actually don't think we've been making that many buy recommendations. So this episode I want to make
more
buy recommendations.
Looking for cards to buy if you want to. Yeah, for sure.
So I think Steph Curry is, you should be buying Steph Curry. Agreed. I think it's as simple as that. Yeah.
I have to admit, I started looking at Steph rookies, and I got a little bit I don't know, not down about it. It is a difficult process, and I think it's a,
yeah.
I need to save some pennies and either go for something big, or and it's still on the big scale, but I'm not paying $20,000 for a limited number rookie card kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyone that wants to spend that is struggling to find an autograph, and this is around that $3,000 price mark, so not a small purchase by any means.
Yeah.
I keep looking at the From Downtown.
Okay.
Because I thought maybe a Kaboom, because obviously Kaboom's a one of those chase cards. But
yeah, sure.
I feel like From Downtown and Steph Curry
are
very synonymous with one another.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
So I've been looking. So they're around about the 3,000 for a PSA 10 from Downtown from Studio 2016. 3,200 last sold. So
I actually very deliberately didn't say autographs.
Mm.
And the reason I didn't is because Steph signs a lot. And I don't know how you calculate this. Actually, I spoke to Ryan about this. I don't think he actually got back to me about this. And maybe the reason he didn't get back to me, I think it's very difficult to collate that data.
Oh, yeah. But like,
I would say this, though. I actually don't know who signs more than Steph Curry.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, okay. So actually, you might have just answered my question. So is there a future that Steph Curry vet autos
drop
go to similar to Magic Johnson prices? Yeah,
because you're right, because Magic Johnson cards in general don't fetch, like Magic autos don't fetch as high a price as you would expect.
Yeah.
And that's probably got something to do with the fact that he will sign anything.
Yeah, that's right. I get, look, you can't really predict the future like that and say that he's going to do what Magic's done, you know, sign for 40 years. No. But I don't know, I kind of get the impression Steph would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that happy guy, you know what I mean? Like Magic Johnson is synonymous with the big smile and always being such a happy, positive guy.
Yeah.
And then you've got Steph Curry, who just laughs while he plays the game of basketball. Like he...
Well, not the last couple of games he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't laugh as much, but do you know what I mean? Like he has so much fun playing the game.
Yeah,
that he doesn't. He's just. I can't imagine him saying no to signing a card.
Well, the other sort of loophole here is that with Fanatics taking over sports cards in general, not just the NBA, we can tie this into the next segment. Actually, so there's going to be more money floating around from Panini for other athletes. So Tim Duncan signing again, and they paid him a bucket. Yeah. I can't find anything verified on that, but I've heard a couple of rumors about it. So I can actually imagine Panini doing that to Steph Curry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just paying him
money.
All the money that they would have had to, you know, spend on autographs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go down the run sheet, mate, and check out that Crown Royale review. So basically, Crown is about to drop. The chase cards in Crown Royale is Kabooms. This year they're doing numbered cards. So they're doing one of ones, which are green. I don't like it when they mess with colors and numbers. In my head, green is number to five. It's emerald.
Yep.
And black should be one of one. But at the same time, I think if you hit a one of one Wemby, that would just be crazy.
I'm curious to know why they went with green.
Maybe it didn't fit on the... on the Kaboom pattern template, it just looked maybe too dark. I don't know. Anyway.
Interesting.
In terms of a chase card, I think Crown Royale breaks and sealed product is going to go absolutely crazy this year. I think that might be double what it was last year, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. And then looking at the preview, the patch autograph stuff that they've put in there just looks absolutely amazing. And Tim Duncan is on card signing in this stuff. I have no idea what Spurs is going to be in a PYT, but it is going to be huge with Duncan and Wemby cards in there.
I'm glad they added Duncan in just to, you know, make people want to pick the Spurs more.
Yeah. the irony is the last couple of years, no one's really wanted the Spurs. So if they had Duncan in last year or the year before, that would have been actually really good. It would have evened it out just a little bit more because...
Definitely.
Yeah. Look, I got to say though, I think with break prices being... I think what they're going to be for Spurs, for Crown, I'm just going to wait for the aftermarket and just try and pick up a Duncan autograph. I really, really, really want a Duncan autograph. I can't tell you how much I'm frothing right now for this to come out. I'm like, I just cannot wait. And
yeah,
typically I'm not a massive fan of the patch autograph stuff with Crown, but I'm going to make an exception for this year, definitely. Particularly if it's game-worn stuff, right? Like, I think that's really cool.
Do you reckon it'll be game-worn?
I think for all the vet stuff, it will be. Yeah. The rookie stuff, it's going to be the same nonsense.
Same old. Yeah.
Picking up for the last couple of years. But yeah, all the vet stuff will be, definitely that will be. Yeah. What about you? What are you interested in looking at for Crown?
I mean, the Kabooms are always beautiful. I mean, the rookie autos, the silhouettes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I do like some of the die cut stuff that comes out.
Do you really?
I've got a thing for die cuts.
Okay. No, that's good. I mean,
like, I enjoy it.
Tell me
why. But I feel like some sets go too far.
Yeah.
And obviously Crown Royale is the set that does obviously go too far if they're all crown shaped cards, the base cards.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's the case, but I'm looking at, like, I don't know. I like the Steph, the preview.
Yeah.
The Crown Jewel. I guess it's sort of diamond shaped. It's supposed to be like a jewel shape.
They've definitely put some thought into it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's actually a really nice design of a card. I'm sure it'll sparkle more than the image we were given.
You hope so.
You'd like to think so. Yeah. But yeah, I think, I don't know, it's a quality product. And if that's all on-card stuff as well.
Yeah.
On-card auto versus sticker auto, we have this discussion regularly.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's definitely on-card autos are sought after. And if Crown Royale comes with on-card for their bigger hits, then the product will be popular.
Yeah. Hey, I think we need to talk a bit more about Wemby because he is just dominating the hobby at the moment. There was a black 1/1 PSA 9 sold recently for $500,000.
Yes.
Hypothetically, if Backyard Breaks hits the 1/1, which seems unlikely but also very possible.
Unlikely but highly probable.
What do you think that would sell for? Because I think what's going to happen, that'll get ripped and it'll go straight to PSA, straight to market. There's no way.
The Kaboom.
There is no way in my mind someone's vaulting that. They're going to like get that out to market straight away. Just with how hot this guy is at the moment. Like $500,000 is US.
Rookie Kaboom.
Like that's life-changing money.
Do you reckon it's $500,000 again, or it goes closer to $600,000-$700,000? I reckon it could hit $750,000.
No, sure, that's fine. No, I was just saying the black shimmer 1/1 sold for $500,000.
Yeah,
you're saying this could go for $750,000. Yeah, cool. You've pretty much answered my question. Yeah, I really don't know. It's just I find these numbers so almost confronting when they get up like this.
Yeah,
and I think what's going through my head a little bit too is I'm going to steal your phrase here, is the whole future prices thing. Like, yep. If you pay $500,000 for that, how much more is that going to go up in the next 10 years? I really struggle with that stuff sometimes. And I'd really love to interview one of these dudes that has these high-end purchases. I don't think, actually, I'm going to say the Kaboom doesn't go as high as the Prism 1/1. I think that is, the Prism is the card that matters in 20 years' time. The Kaboom, that's very much subject to hobbyists and how trends move and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm saying it goes less.
Yeah, I think paying future prices is where everything's at, especially with Wemby at the moment.
Yeah.
He's dominated the league. His hat was in the ring for Defensive Player of the Year in year
I actually
one.
Think he should have got Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very easy to jump on the hype train. Yep. With Wemby. The thing is, yeah, I don't know if the future prices are a smart investment would be the way to...
That's right.
Yeah.
This next post is staying in the Wemby theme, and it's from Twitter, at WNBAcards.com. That's a mouthful. Really good follow. If you don't follow them, please jump on board. WNBAcards.com. That's better when I said it the second time. Most of their content is WNBA content, so
yep.
That's like stating the obvious. But at the same time, this next piece is about US Border Patrol in Rochester, New York, seized a shipment containing fake Wemby rookie cards. So not just a handful, like a shipment. The article states the shipment came from China, with others commenting online about an influx base Wemby rookie cards on the Bay lately. I think when they say the Bay, they're talking about the Chinese eBay and American eBay.
Yep.
This is the stuff that keeps me awake at night, Ad. I'm not going to lie to you, because you say I can't afford a silver. Maybe I can go onto eBay and save up my money and buy a base Wemby card.
Yeah.
Even though our general sort of consensus is to stay away from base rookies, but let's just say that's what you can afford and that's what you really want. Like, we support you in doing that. And then someone sells you a fake. Like, this is the stuff that really keeps me up awake at night. So I think we've sort of alluded to this a couple of times before about stuff coming out of China, the Chinese eBay at the moment, how that's influencing the market and changing comps because of how low some of the prices are over there.
Yeah.
Some people are saying the opposite. Some people are saying, well, actually, it's all 100% legitimate. It's just really good price at the moment. It's not a platform that's being utilized enough, you know? So that's sort of the, you know, the pros and the cons.
Yep.
I actually don't want to make this about, you know, fake stuff coming out of China. I more want to make this conversation about how do you protect yourself when you're making purchases? And that's what I was thinking about with this. So then I did read a little bit further and I found another article about it. And what it did emphasize is that the logo above his head where it says Spurs, that's slightly faded out or washed out in comparison to the ones that Panini made.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, being like realistic here, how can you protect yourself from this? I actually don't think you can, because the differences in the card is so little.
Yep.
Photographs on eBay often can be compromised. They're not always that clear or perfect. So maybe you stay away from photographs that aren't very clear. You do check the lettering and you just buy from people who have got 200 plus eBay ratings. I don't know. Is that enough to keep yourself safe?
It's definitely a good way to be cautious about it. Honestly, I don't think there's any 100% verified way to protect yourself fully.
Buying raw,
And that's the thing. Even buying graded, sometimes like there's less risk, I guess. Especially
if you're buying PSA, at least you get the guarantee, right?
Exactly.
They will take care of that end. So,
but you're right. Buying raw is it's a buyer beware market. I mean, we would like to hope that the majority, 99% of people in the hobby, are honest, selling genuine cards, and are completely transparent with the way they conduct themselves.
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
Of course, you're going to get people that are trying to make. We talk about it every week. The sheer number of dollars involved in this hobby attracts some unwanted elements. As simple as that. And we're never going to be fully rid of it. But educating people new to the hobby and people that aren't new to the hobby on ways to steer clear, or warning signs, red flags to look for, that's the best we can do.
Yeah.
As a hobby, is look out for each other, draw attention to it, and call it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look for things that we notice. I've seen counterfeit cards through other products in my time with like trading card games.
Yeah.
I mean, Pokemon went through it years ago. Yu-Gi-Oh! Went through it.
Magic Pokemon Gathering. Pokemon still goes through it, though.
Yep. And then Pokemon got to a point where you just couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if it is, it is. It isn't, it isn't. Like, there was Magic the Gathering got to the point where the card stock with the... because there's like a blue layer in the card stock for some games. Like Magic the Gathering, Hasbro have gone to the trouble of trying to make them less counterfeitable. But it, once again, fakes have come out of China that are near impossible to recognize because the card stock's been replicated. And it's
unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And at what point is the fake that good that it's genuine? that's not me supporting fakes at all, by the way. But
yeah, I just don't really want fakes. I think I think that's the easiest way I can say it. It just doesn't
It leaves a bad taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think now's a good time to have a break, Ed, so why don't we have a quick commercial break,
and we will
be right back. back. This next ad break is brought to you by Slambox, Australia's best value basketball repacks. Visit www.slambox.com.au to check out the latest series or join the Slambox Facebook page and message them directly. Slambox features big name autos including Giannis, Zion, LaMelo, Banchero, Chet, Jar, Tatum, and more. Super short prints, case hits from a variety of different products including National Treasures, Flawless, Noir, Immaculate, Impeccable, and more. Slambox has different tiered product levels to cater for all budget levels and collector preferences. Thank you, Slambox, for your support. We are back.
We're back.
How did you enjoy the break, Ed?
It was great. It was great. I feel very refreshed.
Yeah, that's right. Righty. So this is something that has no logic at all, but it's been on my mind and I wanted to do it, so I did it. Jamie Hawkes versus Anthony Simons. So hear me out here for 2 seconds. Why did I want to do this silly comparison?
Anthony Simons, doesn't he play in Portland?
He does play in
Aren't
Portland.
Aren't they completely irrelevant for like the next decade now?
I think the next 2 years is going to be tough if you're in Portland.
Yeah, I was just really taking it, having a stab at Portland there. It was really, really unfair of me.
That's okay. So look, I like what Portland is doing in theory. I think they've taken a lot of swings on young players and given them the time to development. So CJ McCollum is probably the best example. Obviously, Damian Lillard was a fantastic pick.
Yeah.
Anthony Simons is someone else they've picked. Shaedon Sharpe, I think that's the other one.
Yeah.
We probably need to discuss at some point. But I want to talk about this because I think a lot of stock did go into this guy. So his highest price was nearly $350 at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, is that through the, that's not even through the bubble, really. Well, 2020.
Bubble-ish.
Yeah, bubble-ish. So it was around that 2022 point where people were spending way too much money, but
he also around that time was actually playing some pretty like good basketball too.
Yeah, so true.
Population on this is high though, 1,400. So we're talking sky high. Current pricing now is sub $100. So we're sitting at 70.
Yeah.
So I suppose what I'm trying to do here is make a comparison of two lower end prospects.
Yep.
And one is sort of all the hype, which is Anthony Simons. And then you've got Jamie Hawkes, who's just like all grit. He's a big guy. He plays the game, you know, the Miami Heat, like the right way.
Yep. Plays the Heat game.
Yeah. And then I found this really interesting to look into because I was not expecting the numbers that I saw. So, for example, I thought Simons would be higher than this in terms of his dollar value. And Hawkes last sold for $113 USD on a PSA 10. So I was very surprised by that. And so that's actually made me sort of want to look into this a little bit more. So then diving into the population data. So yeah. Jamie is not on Card Ladder. So I've pulled this from a couple of different sources. So thank you, Ryan, for your data here. So his total gems is 149, which I'm really surprised that many of these cards have been sent off to PSA. So
there's a lot of Miami fans out there.
Yeah, I suppose. Anyway, look, where I'm going with this is I actually think Simons is now going to be sunk money because I think he's sort of had his hobby time. I think the market has spoken. He's gone from 300 down to 70. I think that's, you know, that's pretty ominous in that space. I think for the rotation for Portland in the next couple of years, I don't see him being prioritized. I think Shaedon Sharpe is going to get a lot of burn unless they work out a way to play Sharp and Simons at the same time. I think it's going to be very problematic for him.
Yeah, good point.
On the flip side, I really love Jamie's game, and whether it's with the Miami Heat or with someone else, I actually love him as like a point forward, you know, that big guy just doing everything out on the court.
Yeah.
And I think with his natural progression, I think his scoring can get better. I think, and I'm not throwing shade at the guy, I'm just saying I think he's going to get better in that space. But I think his ball handling, his playmaking has still got some room to improve there too. Really love this guy. So
yeah.
Look, the only thing I'm going to I've just frothed over this guy for 2 minutes, but it is a little bit of a buyer beware thing because who are you sort of bidding against when you're buying these cards? Who is going to be buying them in the future? It's not like a Magic Johnson autograph that's liquid that you can list it for sale and it's sold. Like you might be trying to, you know, sell these cards for quite a while.
Yeah.
At the same time, is this someone who's like a deep cut to sort of, you know, prospect on and put away? There's, you know, I think there's some potential there. So
Yeah.
Yes, I have sourced, obviously, the silver numbers, but again, I think you start looking at Jamie's numbered stuff. So I found a couple of other cards.
Okay.
His Fast Break variant card out of Prism Fast Break last sold for $6. So I'm going to just double down on this just for a second. I like Jamie as a prospect, and I love the variant cards. So
yep.
In each Fast Break box, you get one rookie variant card, and you've got the traditional one, which is like the black curtain and they're doing an action shot. And then this one is the more traditional, them standing there holding a ball or just in a very sort of normal pose.
Yeah.
Last year's one was East-West, the horizontal cards, but this year they've gone back to the vertical cards. I love these cards. I think in terms of something being a really good chase, I would love to do a chase like that. I think the problem is, though, is that the Wemby card, to try and get that into your collection, I just don't think it's worth the outlay of what you'd be spending for the total set and then to have it, if that makes sense.
To have it all, yeah.
So that's, I'm very conflicted in that sort of space, to be honest, at the moment, because set chases can get really expensive really quickly, particularly if there's 30, 40, 50, 100 cards and then...
It's those last key chase cards that nobody wants to part with or that are very popular. So Jaquez is an interesting player for sure.
We didn't get a lot of social media responses on this, but we did have a couple on Twitter, actually. So I think we should go through that because it's not every day that we get Twitter responses. So this is from Lasna Sport. Jamie, better team, market, more unique, more popular in less time. That's an interesting take on that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I get behind that, yep.
Now, this is going to be maybe a rant. So I think after 5 minutes, if I'm still ranting, just cut me off, Ad, okay?
Stopwatch is going to go. I'll set a timer.
Put the timer on. So this is a story that emerged from Twitter, and there's multiple different sources on it, but I got it from @Rob_Mead_OHS. And basically, it's about a meet and greet that was organized in America. People paid money to see Tom Brady, and they also paid $3,000 for a signature. The controversy is, or where it's then led to, is that Fanatics, I'm using air quotes, have the exclusive rights to Tom Brady and they charge $4,000. So people are now saying, well, you're just trying to skirt around paying the $4,000. You're paying the $3,000. Yeah. So what people did was take, really expensive pieces of memorabilia like Super Bowl tickets from his first Super Bowl and touchdown footballs that he threw in, really important games. And the signature that he put on it is basically so unreadable and unlike his other signatures, it's unlikely it's going to pass any type of authentication or verification.
Yep.
So maybe if you had something that was valued at $60,000, it's now not even worth that $60,000.
Yeah.
Now, this is very similar story to what we heard from Tyson a little while back. Slightly different circumstances, but at the same time, the flavor is very, very similar.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much up the same alley that we were talking with Tyson. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I first heard about what happened to Tyson, my initial sort of finger pointing was at Fanatics.
Yep.
Then the second time I hear this story, you sort of need to say, well, who is actually the common thread here? And I'm now pointing my finger at Tom Brady. Like, if he knows that this is a problem for his, agreement with Fanatics, why is he, agreeing to, these events and then mixing it in with the autograph and just making it a very complicated situation? So I actually think, really the losers here are the collectors. And Darren Rovell went online and made this video saying that, oh, it's the collectors who are at fault here and they should have paid the $4,000 to Fanatics and Fanatics wasn't involved in this event and all this type of stuff. And I think that's the correct context. Like, I think if you pay someone $3,000, it's not unreasonable to expect a half-decent signature.
Agreed. Yeah. Completely agreed. Like, that's a lot of money for a signature.
Yeah, and particularly if you've put it onto something that's, very valuable at the start. I just think there's so many ways to get scammed in this hobby, and I feel like this is just, another thing to add to the scam list. Like, people not posting with tracking, people posting in plain white envelopes, people not having coin cards and selling, Now the next thing is going to a Tom Brady signature event and getting your memorabilia ruined. It's just like another scam to add to it.
It's I suppose it's the darker side of the hobby, and it's, you're right, it's the, it falls on the shoulders of fanatics to an extent, because for better use of a term, they're one of the key regulators. They've got the contracts in place. They own these autographs. They, like, these players, the rights to sign and the products that can be released. But there's got to be some responsibility placed on the players' shoulders. Like, they know the impact they have.
At this point, for me, the responsibility is 100% with Brady. Like, if it happens once, I'll give the guy
a
pass, right? But okay, fine. There was a miscommunication, whatever. It happens twice. You can't tell me you don't know the situation. So that's where I sit with this.
Yeah.
So look, we've used Darren Rovell's content so much in the past, and I'm going to go on record here. I love what he does. I don't have a problem with him, with his new media company. Like, I am not taking a dig at him for like 1 second, but I do disagree with what he said about that when he put his video up to try and defend the whole situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would like to think that we're objective on this show, that we tell both sides of the story. So, you know, I'm going to say publicly, like, Darren, I do not agree with like what your take was about that whole event. And it's
trying to shift the focus. And I think there is a level of responsibility that should fall on the shoulders of both.
Yeah.
Fanatics. Yeah.
All right. Should we leave it at that? We don't need to go more than 5 minutes on that, do we?
We don't need to deep dive enough. I think that was an appropriate amount of time.
Great. Okay. So we're at the hour mark. So what I suggest we do is finish the show on a very positive note.
Let's do it.
Last week's show, we touched on Flawless, and I don't think we talked about it enough, and I don't think we talked about enough cards. So in the run sheet, I've found 5 or 6 different cards. Not all of them are from this year's Flawless, but most of them are. So the first one is a LeBron James diamond card, numbered /5. Sold for US $900. I actually really like that as a purchase.
Oof.
The thing I don't like about it, and I wanted to talk with you about, is the diamonds. Why do they need to add a diamond into a Flawless card?
Because Flawless is a grading of diamond.
But
that's,
you know what I mean?
That's the play on words. That's what they're, that's part of the shtick.
Sure. I think that's the
novelty is the, yeah.
That's fine. And you have put forward a very good point that where my head is, I'm just like, it's already a flawless basketball card. Why do you need to put a diamond into it? Like, it's already amazing. Like, to me, I actually think it actually either devalues the diamond or it devalues the card. That's how I feel about it.
Is the diamond in every card?
No, not every card has a diamond. Yeah, yeah. There's literally diamond card sets, basically. Yeah.
So
would you buy that for $900? Do you think that's a good buy?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of the diamonds.
Okay.
So my question, and this is my OCD kicking in.
Hit me.
The set's called Flawless.
Yes.
And we all love getting cards graded.
Yeah.
If I sent that away, I'm looking at the diamond in the circle at the moment. I zoomed in. I feel like the centering's slightly off. It could be the angle, but you know what I mean? If the centering of the diamond is off, don't put a border around it. I would have slightly designed it differently so that it looked flawless.
This is tweaking you hard, man, isn't it? You're like...
The diamonds in the cards are... I think it's cool to have a flawless diamond in a flawless product.
Okay.
Like, conceptually.
Yeah.
But it's not my cup of tea. I'm still on the... For that, I put that $900 towards my Steph Curry from downtown.
Yeah, okay. Flawless drafts. Dual Banchero Chet Holmgren. I love this card.
Double diamond.
Double diamond, though. So this is going to tweak you. And I'm just looking at the diamonds. They're off-centered in that little circle, mate. So don't...
Uh-oh.
Avert your eyes.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's not even symmetrical in how they're off-centered.
Look, I love this card, but at the same time, splitting that up in a break, that's a nightmare. So basically, you'd have to sell it, or the other person have to buy the other person out. So yes, it's an awesome card, fantastic for your PC, but what a nightmare, honestly.
That would not be... I wouldn't want to be the one trying to split that, for sure.
Yeah. Right, now we're stepping back in time here. We're going to 1819. This is a horizontal RPA of Jaren Jackson Jr. 4 out of 5. On-card autograph, game-worn, delicious-looking patch there of the lettering of the Grizzlies. Now, I brought this one up for two reasons. We're going to use this as a comp for the next card, which is Shaedon Sharpe.
Okay.
Also, too, just to discuss the pricing on the verticals to the horizontals, there's often a 25%, sometimes more, decrease if you're buying a horizontal compared to a vertical.
Yeah, okay.
This one also, too, doesn't have the rookie logo on it. And we've discussed this in the past about this. So that's just like another, you know, point of emphasis here.
Okay.
So I feel like for this very specific card, this is more for if you know, you know. This is not for the sort of, not that an average collector is going out buying flawless RPAs, but I think this is like a very specific card for collectors to go out and buy, because like you actually have to research that it actually is his rookie card. You can't just look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that's a rookie card. And then in addition to that, it's also the horizontal one too. So, All right, keeping that in mind. So Shaedon Sharpe, numbered to 10, also horizontal. PSA 9.
Yeah.
On-card autograph. Beautiful, beautiful. Two-color patch, but it's got stripes through it. Does have the rookie logo in it, as you just said.
It's hidden in the
yeah, hand. But it's there. Like,
it exists.
I can work that out easier than the Triple J, right? Yeah. This sold for $2,955. So,
wow. Right. That's a difference.
So I think, obviously, the PSA grading contributes to this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also say, too, the timing of the sale is, you know, a really big deal, too. So,
of course.
You know, I think if you look at these two purchases and you say, well, actually, which is the more shrewd purchase? I think the Triple J is definitely the shrewder one.
Yeah.
In terms of long-term collectability, is Shaedon Sharpe going to be more collectible than Triple J? I think that's still to be determined, to be honest.
I don't think there's any way of determining that.
I mean, we can make a prediction.
We can try.
Who do you think is long-term going to be more collected?
Collected?
Shaedon Sharpe or Triple J?
Probably Triple J, actually.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
There's going to be eyes on Portland for a little while, so maybe.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the last card of today's show is someone actually we've already touched on, is a Magic Johnson All-NBA Inc. on-card autograph, 6 out of 10. This sold for US$211.50. So I love this card. I think it's an absolutely beautiful card.
It's amazing.
I think the price is right. I wouldn't expect to potentially flip that to make money out of it, but it's a liquid card, so you'll always be able to sell it if you do need to.
Yeah.
Love the design. Love the low numbering. He's got a beautiful autograph. I think that's the perfect way to end the show.
Yeah, that's flawless.
Doesn't have a diamond, but that's okay.
That's probably adds value not having a diamond. Anyway.
Final thoughts, Ad?
Final thoughts. I think there'll be some very interesting playoff stuff happening over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to have a lot to discuss. It's going to be good.
Definitely.
Card Ladder, keep bringing us the versus series with playoff teams. I love it.
We could probably make some of our own, to be fair, but yeah, we can absolutely lean into Card Ladder. That's totally fine.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate your support, and we hope you enjoyed today's show.
And see you next week.